ਕਿਤੇ ਰੱਖ ਲਿਓ ਕਿ ਇਸ ਹਰਿਮੰਦਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਦੀ ਬਾਬਤ ਚਾਹੇ ਕੋਈ ਬੀਬੀ ਹੈ, ਚਾਹੇ ਕੋਈ ਬੱਚਾ, ਚਾਹੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਕਾ ਕੋਈ ਸਿੰਘ ਹੈ, ਉਤਰਾ ਕੁਤਰਾ ਹੋ ਜਾਵੇਗਾ, ਪਰ ਹਰਿਮੰਦਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਦੀ ਬੇਅਦਬੀ ਨੂੰ ਕਦੇ ਬਰਦਾਸ਼ਤ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰੇਗਾ। ਤੇ ਮੈਂ ਨੌਜਵਾਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਬੇਨਤੀ ਕਰਾਂਗਾ, ਰੱਖਣੀ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਹੈ, ਪਰ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਦੀ ਕੋਈ ਹੱਦ ਹਦੂਦ ਹੈ। ਤੱਤੀ ਤਵੀ ਤੇ ਬੈਠਣਾ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਹੈ, ਪਿੰਜਰੇ ਚ ਬੰਦ ਰਹਿ ਕੇ ਸੀਸ ਕਟਾ ਲੈਣਾ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਹੈ। ਹੁਣ ਤਾਂ ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਅੱਗ ਲੱਗਦੀ ਹੈ, ਇਸਨੂੰ ਵੱਧ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਕੀ ਹੋਵੇਗੀ।
For mature audiences only, listeners' discretion is advised.
Welcome to the second episode of Ten Kings Podcast. I am G, and I'm with my co-host Sarpanch.
Hello.
Sarpanch, how are you doing today?
Good. How was your weekend? How was your Gurpurab?
Gurpurab was good, man. With the kids, we watched a lot of Dharmic stuff on YouTube and stuff, and nice. We had some decorations set up in the house. And yeah, what about you?
It was good, you know. Just went to the Gurdwara. You know, people like to shit on the fall, but the fall has actually got some. It's got some good times. Like, first of all, hockey starting, and then yeah. You know, right after Diwali, Bandi Chor Diwas, you've got Gurparab, and you know, you got Halloween mixed in there. There's a lot of festivities going on right now, which are important. But yeah, you know, went to the it's an important date for six, so it was good. It was pretty, you know, you got Halloween thrown in there. There's a lot of festivity. There's always some action going on.
Indira Gandhi getting shot anniversary. Yeah,
that too. So yeah, it was a good time. Just went to the Gurdwara, chilled out. Times,
yeah. I mean, we're Canuck fans, so I mean, our hockey season hasn't started out that great, but
you sound like you're mourning.
we could probably start another podcast just on the Canucks, man.
Oh man, the way you said that, like, yeah, but, you know, it's bad that even when they win, they're not very good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know what's going on with them, man. It's
Calgary, dude. Calgary sucks.
Yeah, Calgary sucks too right now, and
a lot of the Western Edmonton hasn't been very good. A lot of Canadian teams.
The messed up thing is, man, we're only like a couple points out of the playoff spot, which, yeah. And then the management's not going to want to make changes because they're like, oh, we're right there.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, so today, we'll talk about Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj. We'll talk about a little bit of Ram Rahim. One of his chele got popped too the other day. Who was involved in the Biadabi case from 2015? Also, Sidhu Moosewala released a song Var about Hari Singh Nalwa.
Yeah.
There's a bit of controversy on that. I guess some Muslims were thinking that there's a line with the word Muhammad in it, and they're thinking it's about the Prophet. But I don't know. It's like people don't fucking read history, or people that don't want to have their bestie out there or something. I don't know what's going on, but they don't read. I mean, and there's some Muslims who are actually refuting those guys, saying that, look, man, it's about a Pathan general who was fighting against Hari Singh Nalwa, Dost Muhammad. And so we'll get into that too. And then I will get into other things. I was reading online some people who want to take Amrit or whatever, and how their families kind of make excuses for them for not to, which is kind of disheartening. I just kind of want to get into that because I kind of went through that too a bit. And then we'll get into that, some other random stuff. I don't know. Bollywood, BML, or whatever, BLM, whatever's happening. And some more liberal content that's happening in the Western world here. That's just flipping our whole civilization upside down, it feels like. But yeah, so let's get to Guru Nanak Dev Ji. So what are your thoughts on Guru Nanak Dev Ji?
Oh, where do I start? From my limited understanding of Sikhi, I understand the Guru Nanak Dev Ji was a Kalpurakh himself who was sent here for the purpose of Kaljug, right? Because the world was burning and it needed a savior. So my understanding is that Guru Nanak Dev Ji came here for that purpose. And, very radically progressive for his time, abolishing, totally against the caste system, promoted gender equality, against the dowry system. I think at their own wedding, correct me if I'm wrong, like he didn't want to do the traditional Hindu ritual on his wedding day or something like that. And there's other sakis, Hindus praying, worshipping in some river towards the sun, and then Guru Nanak Dev Ji's to basically show them a message that, Guru Nanak, if you start praying towards his fields, to show them that how ridiculous it is. So, a radically progressive, ways for his time. That's my limited understanding of it. What are your thoughts?
Hey, it's funny you brought up that Sakhi, where Maharaj is in the river, the Hindus are throwing water towards their ancestors because they're doing ancestor puja. Right. I think, what the messed up thing is, man? Even the Punjabi Sikhs now are going towards that ancestor puja too. Like these jagay and stuff where people like pray to like random spirits and stuff. Like those are basically ancestors. And people like leave like barfiyan or like mirtiai or fruits and stuff for them. And I've heard of stories where people stopped going to the jagay and like all of a sudden like their houses were haunted and stuff like by that exact spirit that they were supposedly worshipping. And it's almost like in every brand there's like a jagah now, man, where people have like this area where people go and they whether they tie like a something to the tree or whatever. It's almost like we're reverting back to that dark time where Maharaj kind of pulled us out of.
You know, that's interesting you say that because I've heard stories like that. Personally, I stay away, just out of fear, I stay away from that shit. Like if I see, when you drive on the highway, there will be like a cross because somebody passed.
Yeah.
I won't stop. Like I'll try not to even look at it. I'll just keep driving. I'm not the type of guy that's going to go for a stroll in like a cemetery. Like a lot of people do, they'll like walk their dogs there. Fuck that. I do not want to go anywhere near that stuff.
Yeah, like those cross things you see on the side of the road, the best thing to do is like when you drive by those, you should start doing some sort of pot or whatever. Oh. You never know what spirit's lingering around, man. Right? Like, people in the middle of the night, they see random things on the road, I've heard of stories where people have seen things in their car, right when they drive by, it's almost like a semi-memorial on the side of the road where somebody's died. Like they'll feel the presence in their car and stuff like that. It's always best to have some sort of part going on or Andron start doing some sort of Mool Mantra or Chobe Sab, stuff like that. Right? You just never know.
Yeah.
With things out there.
Well, I'll tell you a ghost story. You want to hear a ghost story?
Yeah.
All right. So, our people, I don't know if you've heard this, but some of our people say, don't sit under trees and stuff because.
Yeah,
they don't like to chill on top of trees. You mm-hmm. may have heard this. I don't know how true it is, yeah. but basically, back in the day, a distant relative of ours gave birth in the home because back then that's just how it was, right? That was the norm. And this person basically passed away during while giving birth, and their spirit haunted that place for a while until they did a kanpat, and then that took care of it. But one night, basically. At our old Bind in India, at our family home, this is like, probably 50 years ago, somebody knocked on the door and at like, in the middle of the night, and my nanny went to go open the door, and my mom was standing at like the korti, like this, the top, right? And she's looking down, and when my nanny opened the door, there's this figure just standing there with a lamp, and okay. This figure then walked with that lamp to a nearby tree and just stood there. And it was basically a semi-invisible figure, but it was a preet, basically.
Was it that family member that died during pregnancy?
No, it was somebody else. It was something else. It wasn't that person. But
was it a male or female?
It was I actually don't know. I didn't ask that. But it wasn't
it's funny because female ghosts seem scarier than actually male ghosts, man.
they're long hair. Yeah, actually, you're right. I'd be more scared of a female ghost, I think. No offense to anybody out there, but I don't know. Long hair would do it. But that's a story that my mom's told me. My mom's told me there's actually more stories of that house, but I didn't want to hear it. I was like, all right, that's enough. But, to the listeners out there, don't just chill under trees. You know, be cautious. Don't fucking read your book under a tree.
Who was that scientist that got hit by an apple under the tree? Newton, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was a plate threw a freaking apple at his head. I've heard a lot of stories, and I personally have had some experiences too. And some people don't believe in this kind of stuff, but I used to be a skeptic too growing up. But once you experience certain things and with the paranormal and stuff, it's kind of you kind of have to experience it, right? And I understand people who kind of want to refute it and stuff. That's understandable too, because again, you haven't experienced it. But when you experience these kind of things, you kind of also you realize the power of good Barney and Bart too. It's you kind of appreciate it way more. How much power actually good Barney and Barney has with these kind of things, and how much respect good Barney has in the next world or in the other planes of existence, is that certain beings will, you know, react and kind of stray away from areas where there's sincere jumping of nom happening. And I want to use the term sincere because we all have those radios set up in our houses in the background, but how many of us are really actually listening to what Maharaj is saying or really trying to consume the Barney, right?
So I have it on right now, one of those those little boxes that you get from like this Mesh or wherever. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I just paused mine right now. I have one in the room here. So, you know, we all have that in our houses too, but there's also a difference between sincerely jumping nom and just having that in the background, because, you know, a lot of houses will have that in the background, and then they'll have, you know, a lot of liquor stored in the house also, right? Like I've known people who have bars in their basement, and then they have a carn pot. You know, Maharaj comes, and then they take all the stuff in the bar to the shed. The minute Maharaj leaves after the carn pot, the bottles are popped open at the bar again. So it's like, you know, you're not fooling Guru Sahib, right? Guru Sahib, we think we can put a blinder on Maharaj. Maharaj isn't stupid. Maharaj appreciates sincerity above all. I mean, even if you know a little bit of good Barney or anything, you know, that's, if you're doing it out of love, you know, compared to somebody who knows, you know, good Barney by heart, but, you know, isn't doing it jumping good Barney sincerely, you know, you're going to see a big effect between those two people, who's going to get the blessing and who's not. So sometimes it's better to do a little bit, you know, a little bit less bought it, because, you know that if you do a certain amount over a certain time, you start thinking, oh man, when is this going to be over? You're better off just doing what you can do with attention to it and with love, than trying to, you know, be like, oh, I did 10 Sukhmani Sahibs today. You know, why don't you just do one, you know? And, you know, oh, I did these many Japji Sahibs today. You know, why don't you just focus on how many you can do with sincerity, right? And a lot of people like to compare with saints, right? When they hear their Jeevan Sakhi and where they, you know, jap a lot of Naam and stuff, and they try to do that. You have to look at their avastha too, how many past lives they've been through jumping Naam. And us, we come in and we try to compare with them. Oh, I'm going to jump as much Naam. You know, it just doesn't happen, right? You're not going to get the effect out of it, because at the end of the day, you're being pretentious too, you know. You're trying to compare yourself to a saint or to like a true Gursikh. So it's best to stay in your lane and just do what you got to do and do it with love. And you'll see the fruits of that compared to, you know, sitting on top of the tabia and trying to show off that I'm doing this much baht or whatever. You know, you might see through all that.
You know, it's interesting you mention, you know, taking Maharaj to people's homes, you know, for a karnpart and stuff. I wonder if that, like you, how you mentioned how some people have like a bar downstairs or liquor in the house or whatever. I wonder if that's one of the reasons why Baba Nansingji, you know, they preach that, you know, you should go to Guru Sahib, you know, Guru Sahib, Maharaj should not be taken to your home. Now, this is straight from Baba Nansingji. They have a website. Let me just see it here. It's called babanansingji.org, but they had a bunch of teachings on it. And one of them was, I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, that, you know, you should go to Guru Sahib, you know, don't bring Guru Sahib into your house. Do you think that might be one of the reasons that they preach that, just out of the respect thing?
Yeah. So what people who don't know who Baba Nansingji is, they were a saint, they were a mom, Purk Brahmgyani, from the Nanaksar Kalera. And, if you read Baba Nansingji's Jeevan Sakhi, they saw Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj as Guru Nanak Dev Ji. Like, they didn't see any difference. Like, they literally treated Guru Granth Sahib Ji like it was Guru Nanak Dev Ji. Doing Pog Seva, you know, doing Sukhasan, you know, Ramale Sahib, everything being nice and clean. Everything's like not even an ounce of dust. Everything has to be, you have, even the person sitting at the Tabya, you know, reciting Guru Granth Sahib has to, you know, have Kesi Ishnan. Everything has to be clean, clean kapde, everything, like not even an ounce of filth. And like you said, that's the reason why, right? Because like Guru Nanak, they, like, again, the whole, let's use the example as the bar, right? You know, you're bringing Guru Nanak Dev Ji to a house where there's liquor being served and other stuff being served too, not only in the bar downstairs, but probably everywhere in the house too. And, you know, you want to create the utmost respect for Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj, yeah, right? Like, if you want to learn how to do respect for Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj, you go to Nanaksar. Like, they literally treat Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj as Guru Nanak Dev Ji in that form. Like a king, like an emperor, like that's how they treat Maharaj, and that's how we should look at the Guru Granth Sahib when we go to into a Darbar Sahib. We're coming into the presence of the creator, of the King of Kings, right? And you know, you go inside, you do that type, you go inside the Gurdwara with that type of mindset, you'll see a lot of differences happen in your life. You'll see a shift. But if that respect isn't there, then that's basically biadabi right there. So Baba Nansingji was like, made sure that not even a little bit of biadabi was happening around Maharaj, like fresh flowers, everything around Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj. That, like, it was like, it's like awe-inspiring to see the amount of love Baba Nansingji had for Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj, which, the Sikh Panth had lost up to that point in the early 1900s. People were keeping Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj in cabinets, man. Like in those desi, you know, like those land and techiyan kind of stuff, man.
Yeah.
Like people were storing Maharaj where there be moths and dust. So Baba Nansingji kind of showed the Panth, be like, Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj is Guru Nanak Dev. That is Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj.
Yeah.
So again, back to your point, and that's exactly why they saw Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj as Guru Nanak Dev Ji, and that Maharaj Guru Sahib needs the utmost highest level of respect and cleanliness, and be treated like the real emperor, like the only emperor we bow to.
What do you think of these videos popping up of people taking Maharaj to like various islands and, you know, to do a Nandkaraj on the beach? I saw a video recently and I'm torn between this because, first of all, I'm wondering, like, logistically, how do you even get Maharaj there? Do they take them on planes? Because I doubt these remote islands have a Guru Granth Sahib there. I
think some of them do. Some of them have a Gurdwara, like I know Mexico does, and... But right. I've also heard of people bringing Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj on the plane. Like some people actually just out of respect, they didn't even check it in. They keep it on their basically lap.
Okay.
Like the whole time. Like not even in the luggage compartment up top. Like literally within holding it. Like some people do that. I know some people who do it the other way too. Right. So my opinion on that, the whole thing is, I mean, I like if I look back at my Mona days, I'd be thinking, yo, man, it's pretty cool to have a wedding on a beach or whatever. But now with the Guru's grace, when you go on this path and you Dilo Maharaj kind of blesses you with a little bit of Soji, again, if we go back to Baba Nanak Singh Ji with like the utmost respect thing. And Maharaj is gonna be on the beach with like sand blowing and everything, with the wind and you're gonna have sand in between the angs too now. You can't get like sand is like a very bleak, like it's very like it gets everywhere. So my whole thing would be like how like the whole cleanliness of like Maharaj is a Ramale, the Ramallah Sahib and like the Tabya and like and everything, like that would be my focus. I'd be like, is it really that is the Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj Swarup gonna be, in an area where it's clean, or is it there gonna be sand just flying everywhere?
Yeah, that's the thing. You know how people say, fear God? Me, just out of the fear of God, I wouldn't do that. Because what if it is completely disrespectful? And you might have arguments both ways, but I wouldn't risk it. I would never do that.
You're also taking Maharaj to like a resort area too, right? So we all know what happens at those resorts and stuff. And like after Sakasran happens on Maharaj, where are they taking Maharaj? Are they just putting Maharaj on the side somewhere or what? Like that all has to be taken into account of when you're doing that, right? It's like you were saying, as a pant, we should think about the how we should have the utmost respect for Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj. Look how much biadabian is happening, right? Every time we hear biadabi happens, it tears at our heart, right? And as a pant, do we treat Guru Granth Sahib with much respect? Like in Punjab, how many people just abandon the Guru Granth Sahib? Like how many times have you seen a video of Guru Granth Sahib just sitting at the tabya and somebody just comes and rips a bunch of ungs and kicks it?
Yeah, there are
Right.
videos like that popping up. It's truly bizarre, honestly.
So, like, do we really think Guru Granth Sahib is Guru Nanak Dev Ji? Do we really think that's Guru Arjan Dev Ji? Guru Har Krishna Sahib, Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj? Or do we just think, yeah, this is just a holy book? We'll just put it on the side and think. And it goes back to, Baba Nanak Singh Ji, how much respect they showed to the Guru Granth Sahib and. The way that Mariyada is, the Pant really took that and kind of went forward with it too. Like I was saying before, there was a time where that type of respect we give Maharaj right now, like doing the Jor Sahib and literally, doing the Sakasran properly on a proper bed and everything. Like we had lost that for almost 100 years. Like once the British came in, like basically the Guru Granth Sahib was treated like a book that you'd put on a shelf.
Right.
And Baba Nanak Singh Ji instilled that respect again back into the pant.
There's a story from Sekh Anaya Baba Harnam Ji's book about how, again, I'm paraphrasing here, but they were, somebody was reading out of the Guru Granth Sahib and they were being a little too rough with the pages. And then Guru Arjan Dev Ji actually appeared before Baba Harnam Ji, and Guru Arjan Dev Ji's eyes were red, and they were basically like telling them, "Hey, like go easy on the ungs, right? This is a real guru in front of you. Just be more, go easy on it, basically." So that goes to your point.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. That is Maharaj themselves.
Yeah.
And we as a Sikh Panth need to get back to that, man. That's why our Panth is breaking into little pieces here and there. We don't know what the hell's going on. We want Khalsa Raj. Do we think we deserve Khalsa Raj and on how much respect we show Guru Sahib and all that, right? Who's the bestower of kingdoms is Guru Gobind Singh Ji himself, Maharaj themselves, right? So we don't need to beg anybody for that kind of stuff, but we need to go back to the roots, man. We need to go back to the basics. And there's people appearing in Punjab that are telling everybody this now, like Amritpal Singh. He's basically saying, go back to the basics, guys. Go back to the guru, the respect of the guru. Become one of be a, basically go back to the feet of the guru. Go back to Anandpur Sahib. And that's what the Panth really needs to focus on right now. because we're straying on so many different places, and look, you have these government style patriotics too that like that want to confuse people when they talk about Mariada or this and that or whatever, and then the panth just gets caught up in that, and then we don't realize that what the bigger picture is, what's happening to our Qom. So we need to just go back to the basic. We need to go back to the guru, literally.
I would agree. Do you have a specific Sakhi of Guru Nanak Dev Ji that you like?
No, I just want to talk about, like, how, you know, so many prophets came into this world, you know, gods and goddesses, you know. I know some people have asked me, like, why did Guru Nanak Dev Ji even come? Like, why? Like, what was the, like, is it just another messenger prophet coming to the earth just to start another religion? To, you know how people say, well, religion's a business or whatever. Was it just that or whatever? But what we have to realize is Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj is Akal Purkh themselves. They sent prophets. They sent gods and goddesses, great sages and whatever, to start Dharma on earth. But when those prophets or those sages or those gods and goddesses came, they kind of started their own thing. Mm-hmm. But the main linkage was supposed to be with the Akal Purkh. So that's why in the age of Kaljug, in the dark era, Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj came. And Bhai Gurdas Ji's Vara. So Bhai Gurdas Ji was his mama was Guru Amar Das Ji. So at a young age, Guru Amar Das Ji took him in, and basically Bhai Gurdas Ji was, you know, tutored very closely by Guru Amar Das Ji, Guru Ram Das Ji, Guru Arjan Dev Ji, and then even Guru Hargobind said Bhai Gurdas Ji was alive during that time too. And when Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji was a child too, so Bhai Gurdas Ji saw a lot of the Guru Sahibs. And so Bhai Gurdas Ji's Vara, basically Guru Arjan Dev Ji asked Bhai Gurdas Ji that, do you want me to put your Vara in there, into the Guru Granth Sahib, like Sampangtiya? And out of humbleness, Bhai Gurdas Ji said, you know, Maharaj, your Gurbani and the Guru Granth Sahib is so big that somebody like me doesn't deserve to have my Vara in there. But what Guru Arjan Dev Ji then said to the Sangat is, the Guru Granth Sahib Ji is the treasure chest, but the key to that treasure chest is the Vara of Bhai Gurdas Ji. That's how big of a pedestal Guru Arjan Dev Ji gave to Bhai Gurdas Ji's Vara. So in Gurdas Ji's Vara, you know, they have stories, Sakhiya from Guru Nanak Dev Ji's time and all that, all compiled within. And in that, Bhai Gurdas Ji says, Kal Taran Guru Nanak Aaya. So in the age of Kaljud, Guru Nanak Dev Ji came basically to lift us, or to bless us, or to liberate us from all the darkness. And that's basically what Guru Nanak Dev Ji is, Akal Purkh themselves coming to save us in the age of Kaljug. Then with the 10 jolts of the 10 gurus, and then finally to the Jagadi Jolt Guru Granth Sahib, we have the Guru Granth Sahib now. So when we look at the 10 gurus, we don't see them individually as their own person. We see them as basically the second Guru Nanak, the third Guru Nanak, to the 10th Guru Nanak, now to the Guru Granth Sahib. When we create the division between the gurus, that's where, you know, you'll get those random sects that come. Yeah. And they'll say, we only believe in Guru Nanak Dev Ji to Guru Arjan Dev Ji. After that, we don't believe in the military style.
Right? I hear that a lot.
Yeah, like, I think some of the Radha Swamis think that way too, and shit like that. Or you have some people who'll take the Barney of the Pagats and create their own Dharam too. You're basically taking the Guru Granth Sahib and taking a couple Angs and making your own Panth, which is wrong also. So Guru Nanak Dev Ji wasn't just another prophet or messenger who came. It was the big honcho, the Don himself, who came on earth. And when you get that type of mindset, that you know that Guru Sahib is Akal Purkh themselves, when you read their Bani, it has a different effect on you. your whole psyche as a Sikh changes. When you're around Guru Granth Sahib, your whole respect level changes, that you're amongst the creator. I know some, I've heard some stories of some Guru Sikhs when they're Guru Sikhs who have a lot of, you know, a lot of jap, a lot of tap, you know, they do a lot of simran and stuff. And they say when they go into the Darbar Sahib in the Gurdwara,
okay,
they my iMac is going crazy right now. Hold on a sec. What the hell's going on? Yeah, the that when they see the Guru Granth Sahib, they literally see the whole galaxy circling around it.
Really?
Yeah, like they see the whole existence of the of God knows what, of how many galaxies, how many universes there are, basically circling around the Guru Granth Sahib.
These are people with like heightened avastas that just like,
yeah,
about it, and then they see Guru Granth Sahib, yeah, God themselves. Okay, wow.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be your random uncle from the liquor store going saying that, right? Oh boy, he's like, yeah, right? It's yeah. So it's people who have like a high avasta. They see the Guru Granth Sahib as something very, very, very special. You can't even put into terms.
Right.
And it's kind of shocking and scary how what's gonna happen to the world with all the pop that's happening, with all the biadabi happening to the Guru Granth Sahib, because that biadabi, that pop has to be called for. There has to be a reckoning to that. And if the whole galaxy is circling around Guru Granth Sahib Maharaj, what's gonna happen to that Tarti or that area where there's biadabi happening? Look what happened to Sirhand when they bricked alive the Chote Sahibzade. Banda Singh Bahadur basically tore it to pieces because of the pop of doing that to the Sahibzade.
Right.
Think about what's going to happen. God knows what. Who knows what's going to happen, man. But all these biadabi are happening. What's going to happen to the Dili Takat? That's basically behind all this. Right? There's a reckoning that's going to have to come. Look what happened to the Mughal Empire. There's no remnants of that empire anymore. That was basically the richest.
For a time, they were all powerful and they crumbled.
They had 27% of the world's GDP, man, at one time. And basically, the heir to that throne is in Bihar somewhere. Who basically, I think she owns a little shop where she makes samosa or something, like very like it's basically reduced to nothing, like just rubble now.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, and why? Because they put their matta against the guru, man. And that look at the same thing with Indra. Indra thought she was the queen of the world. And she could wear a bulletproof vest and have all these guards, and she still got it, right? So all these egotistical people who sit on thrones, it takes Maharaj just a glance from their eyes to tip it upside down, man. So that's why, you know, we're so lucky that our guru is Guru Nanak Dev Ji, Akal Purakh themselves. And people like to reduce them to just another person or just a philosopher or whatever. Those people, you know, God save you, good luck on your spiritual path or whatever. You're not going anywhere in your spiritual path. I'm sorry. You know, you can say Maha Sada Dil Saf or whatever. That doesn't get you anywhere.
Right. You know, what I was thinking, you know, we talked about how important keeping your rayat is and following the maryada. I was thinking how people try to move the goalposts or try to bend the rules, right? You know how there's some people out there that you know, they'll say they took amrit from somewhere that allows them to eat meat, or they took amrit from somewhere that allows them to consume whatever substances or smoke cannabis. Or there's other people, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, there's lines from the Guru Granth Sahib that always talk about the true guru and how you have to follow the true guru, right? My interpretation of that is the Guru Granth Sahib and our actual gurus. But there are people out there that misinterpret it and say that, oh, you can, you know, you can follow any human guru, like a Hindu guru. And I've known of some people who, you know, they were born into Sikh families, but they follow these Hindu gurus who basically interpret those pangatis from Guru Granth Sahib as saying, oh, you can follow any guru of this world. Doesn't have to be the Guru Granth Sahib or our actual gurus.
Yeah, I mean, like, you got the Radha Swamis, you got the Narktaris, and then a bunch of randos now. You got freaking Ram Rahim running around, you know, those type of weird, fake, you know.
Dude, these people, like, they even come up with their own mantras that I don't know where they get them from. They're not from the Guru Granth Sahib, but there's, like, these made-up mantras, right?
Yeah.
The misinterpretation and just, like, you know, totally... changing.
It's funny because when the Mughal Empire was there and they were ransacking and killing everybody who didn't convert, where were these freaking random Babe Panths popping up? Nobody popped up then. But when the Sikh gurus and the Khalsa dealt with the Mughals and everything kind of settled down, then they came out of the woodworks.
Right.
And when shit hits the fan again, they're going to go back into their hole. And it's going to be the Khalsa again that's going to fight.
That's, you know, that's a great thing about our gurus, right? All the important times in our history, they were front and center, you know? They were in the trenches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they never... But that's Guru Sahib taught us, right? You know, there's one Sakhi during Guru Har Gobind Sahib's time. There was a Sikh who... his family was being harassed by his neighbors who were Muslim, and he was getting constantly harassed. And I guess that neighbor had connections with the Mughal Empire or like a Wajir or whatever. So that Sikh said, went to Maharaj and said, Maharaj, can you please help me? You know, my family keeps getting harassed by these guys and I don't know what to do. And then Maharaj says, do you have a weapon? And he says, no, I don't own a weapon. So Maharaj gave him his own teg, his own sword, and gave it to him. He says, now go fight for your right, man.
Oh, wow. You know, that's a great thing about empowering people, that, you know, you can stick up for yourself. That sometimes you have to take things in your own hands. Sometimes, especially at that time, no one's going to help you, right? And that still applies in many forms today, that, you know, people aren't always going to be there for you to help you. You got to go get it. And that's a great example. You know, Art Gom, probably one of the first Gom's, probably the only Gom that empowered our women to arm themselves.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Man, it's funny how we see the West as so advanced with women's stuff. Like, the women only got to vote in the 1940s, man.
Yeah, it's relatively recent. In the grander scheme of things, that's very recent.
It's very, very recent. And you know, people get such a hard-on over the Western world. But the Western world is it backwards too. Like, it's like what our gurus taught with the equality of everybody, it doesn't matter about your race or religion, right? The Western world doesn't have that,
right?
Look at Kali in the States. You know, they're still getting rocked, but like,
they're, you know, systemic oppression for centuries.
Yeah. And like, what was it, in 1960s, did the civil rights movement happen? Right?
Yeah.
That's very recent.
Yeah.
And our gurus are saying 500 years ago, it doesn't matter what color your skin is or whatever. You know, everybody is one human race, right? Respect everybody as a human.
And I wonder what the last state was that abolished slavery.
It's somewhere in the South, probably Alabama or like some backwards freaking, you know, swampland.
Delaware did not ratify the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery until 1901. So again, pretty recent.
So, but thing is, after the abolishment of slavery, the Kali were still going through like...
Yeah.
That era where like they had to use their own buses, their own benches, their own freaking water. water fountains to drink and stuff, and then you had the KKK running around and lynching people, and nobody would arrest the KKK because they were within the police force and within the government. Like, the Western world, you know, is not as advanced or as progressive as we think. Look at here, like in Canada, man. Look, we found out about the Aboriginal children in the graves.
Yeah, segregation. So segregation ended in the mid-60s when President Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act. So again, pretty recent. And like you said, the Indigenous folks, young children, their graves are being dug up now. This is a secret that people have been hiding for decades.
And people think that the government didn't know, or the RCMP didn't know that this stuff was happening, or the church didn't know. Like, they knew how everybody knew, and they kept it all under wraps.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how could you do that to small kids, man? And then people will call, you know, Sikhi backwards or whatever. Like, we never did that in our history.
Right.
Name us one time where we did that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And then, you know, Christians will in Punjab are saying that, you know, what did your guru do for you? What did your guru do for you? Why didn't you just convert to Christianity and stuff like that? And, you know, Christianity has a very, very dark history that even, I don't even think Christians even realize. Like, if you go back like 900, 800 years, like during the Crusade times, like the genocides that they used to commit on the Muslim population and vice versa. Right, it was like,
right.
You look at that, and the Pope would say, you know, you can kill and rape any non-Christian, and you'll be forgiven by Saint Peter at the gate in the gates of heaven. All your pops will be cleaned. He's saying that you could go and murder, and you clean your pops. What, like, and that's their jathedar, right? Like, imagine we have a call tak jathedar. That's their freaking jathedar doing that, saying that. Like, and people call Sikhi backwards. Look at our history. When women were being kidnapped by the Pathans and the Afghanis to be taken back into the Middle East to be sold as sex slaves in the bazaars and being raped on the way there, it was the Singhs who would free them and take them back home. And now that's turned into a joke. Be sing on the bottom bajige, because the Singhs would attack at 12 midnight, because that's the tact. And if you look at warfare tactics, that's the best time to, usually they say between 12 to 3. Usually the best time is around Amrit Vela to attack, because the certain light of the moon or the angle of the moon, it can distort people's eyesights too. But around 12 o'clock, they would attack the caravans taking the slaves back to the Middle East. And now the Hindus joke around about that, saying the Singh Gandhi Bharam Bhaji. So right. It's like, you know, and people don't read history. It's like, well, we literally freed your daddi's freaking daddi's daddi. Yeah. And you're making these jokes with Singh Gandhi Bharam Bhaji. And then we can now kind of go towards Musa Ali song, where now some Muslims are saying that that we're dissing the Prophet Muhammad because the word Muhammad was put in there. Well,
I listened to the song yesterday. It's a good song.
Well, it's historically like true, and people don't want to hear it, right? Like, especially like some Muslims, right? They don't want to hear that kind of stuff because they want to forget or not want to hear. But the Khalsa Panth, the Sikh Empire, shit kicked a lot of freaking generals during that time. And
I didn't know that Afghanis would dress in salwars because, you know, of fear. I had no idea about that.
Yeah, because they knew that Singhs wouldn't attack women, right? So they would dress up they would dress up like women and put a burqa over them.
Right, right.
See? Right. And they're going to deny it. They're going to deny it, right? Because they're like, we're Pathans. But hey, historically, it's there.
Yeah.
And people try to dilute our history or whatever. And like, you know, getting mad just because the name Muhammad is there. Like, why don't you look at the context of it? I think one out of four Muslims are named Muhammad. I think it's the most common name on earth.
Yeah.
And if you know about us as Sikhs, we don't go around dissing other people's prophets or gods and goddesses or whatever.
No.
Right? That's against our ideology. But it tickles people the wrong way, because historically in that song, in a very short 2-3 minutes of that song, it shows what how the Khalsa Empire, you know, rocked that area. And those people from that area are very proud of their history. But they're proud of certain commanders or leaders or kings who were genocidal freaks. For example, Amish Abdali. Now, a lot of Afghanis call him the Baba of their Qom. They have his picture up in their parliament.
Who is this person?
Amish Abdali attacked Darbar Sahib in 1757. And that's the battle that Baba Deep Singh Ji fought, and fought with his head cut off, and with his hand on his, with his head in his hand. Mm-hmm. 5,000 Sikhs fought 20,000 Pathans, and the mm-hmm. Pathans ran back to Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. I've spoken with Afghanis or Pathans before, and they'll say, "Yeah, Abdali never lost a battle."
Mm-hmm.
Abdali, he never lost a battle, and then you know that we know the truth of what happened. But thing is, they're not going to go back to their countries and say, "Yeah, man, we lost against these infidels." They're going to say, yeah, no, we rocked them, we ransacked them, we destroyed their Darbar Sahib, these infidels, this and that. That's what they're going to say. But the thing is, a lot of people freaking respect Amish Abdali as like almost like a peer. But we know that the pop that he committed, he attacked Darbar Sahib. Now, we all know where the hell he's going. He's burning in hell somewhere with the Jamdoob sticking their sticks up his ass. You attack Guru Ram Das's house, and then you fight a Mampurakh like Baba Deep Singh Ji. You ain't gonna go nowhere, man. But people respect him so much that they have his pictures up in the parliament. So these type of people are now saying that, oh, why'd you use Muhammad in your song? Well, it's history. Now, we can deny history. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But we're not saying anything about your prophet. We would never do that. Right? It's historically, the guy's name was Dost Muhammad, the general.
You know, this isn't the first time that... it's funny how Sikhs live in some of these Muslims' head rent-free. Because this isn't the first time. You know the Sakhi about Guru Nanak Dev Yamaka and how...
Yeah.
Oh, if you YouTube like the Muslims' views on this, they don't like it. Like, they are angry, dude.
Like how dare infidel come? How dare an infidel come?
They use words like Bevakuf and Bakwas and these Muslim guys claim, oh, I read the Guru Granth Sahib, this and that. Like, they do not like it, man. It's so I'm not surprised at the at this, if you want to call it backlash about this song, because
the thing is, all you got to read about is that time Hari Singh Nalwa and what the Sikhs were doing. The British at that time, they hadn't annexed Punjab yet. They were looking at Hari Singh Nalwa and they were saying, this guy's going to go back then. It was called Constantinople. If I pronounce that properly, which is Istanbul now, which was the capital city of the Ottoman Empire, which in turn, usually, if people know their history, if you had that city, basically you were in control of most of Europe and northern Africa and that area. It was a very important city to have. The British were thinking, the way Hari Singh Nalwa was going, we're going to see the Kesir Nishan in Constantinople.
Mm-hmm.
They were that scared of him.
Yeah,
that's why the people, all these Persian kings, they're gifting all this stuff to modern Jeet Singh, because they're like, yo, man, just don't come towards us, man. Yeah. Just stay there. Just stay there.
Yeah,
because they were trying to befriend Hari Singh, modern Jeet Singh, Hari Singh Nalwa, right? Because they knew that the way the Sikhs were going, that these guys are going to just one city after another is going to take. And historically, even Sikhs don't even realize this, right? We get watered down. Like, people like to water down our history. And again, like this backlash, like, no, fuck, why? Like, they took that line out of the song on Spotify now, Muhammad the Khan line.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's like, this is our hit.
Who has that control to do it? Who does that?
I'm thinking it might have been Musiala's dad, because he didn't want the controversy, which I understand, right? Like, he doesn't want any more, he doesn't want anybody shitting on his son's name too, right? Because
I'm assuming it was voluntary, but you know, he did an interview having to explain it.
Well, yeah, I mean, like again, like the don't these Muslims read the history, or they don't want to read it because they got their asses kicked. Why at that time?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. It's just, it's sad that you know, Musiala's dad has to come on and defend, or you know, clarify. Well, he doesn't really need to provide an explanation, but he did, you know, out of a courtesy.
Yeah, and like, and as Sikhs, we shouldn't be apologetic about our history, man.
Right.
Like, what our Shaheeds did, what our Gurus did, what our saints did. Like, we don't have to apologize to anybody. We are what we are. Yeah, you don't see a lion going around apologizing to zebras and hyenas and giraffes, saying, "Oh, sorry, I have a mane, I have claws, and I have teeth, and I look badass. I'm sorry." Lions, they live like a lion. Like, we are what we are, man. If you don't like it, don't fuck around with us. Right. You fuck around, you pull our whiskers, we're gonna fucking claw your throat out. Right? That's our history. And six, you know, we shouldn't even succumb to this kind of shit too either. Let them cry or whatever. They just need to read the history, and they know that we're not talking about the prophet.
Yeah.
Right? And that liberal cause.
How many Muslims listen to Muswa? That is they obviously like him if they're
Punjabi Muslims, right? Like the right. One in Pakistani side, right?
Yeah.
But things, a lot of them came out saying that, you know, yeah, no, read the history. He's not talking about the prophet. So a lot of Muslims did come out and say, like, why are you guys backlashing? You guys are just dumb. You guys don't know the history of that area, right? It's yeah, but at the same time, we shouldn't be apologetic about our history. And it doesn't matter how liberal somebody is or if it offends somebody, our history is our history. Like, if somebody, you know, back in the day, like, I think it was Lakhpat Rai who got his head cut off, or was it just one of the brothers, it was Jaspat Rai, Lakhpat Rai. One of them got their head cut off just by doing Nindya of Guru Sahib in front of a Singh. The Singh climbed the horse and cut his head off.
Hmm.
At that time, the Sikhs were didn't even one bad word about our guru. They didn't give a shit who the fuck you were, right?
I agree. Go ahead.
No, sorry. I'm not saying we should be like that or whatever, going around doing that or whatever. But I'm just saying, like, you know, we should be unapologetic about our history, and if somebody gets pissed off about our history or how we portray it or whatever, well, fuck it. It is what it is, man. Like, people are trying to dilute our history. The Hindu, right-wing Hindus are trying to dilute our history. Now these guys are trying to dilute our history. It's like, no, man, if you don't like it, then fuck it, you don't like it, man. Like right-wing Hindus don't like when we say, yeah, Guru Tegh Bahadurji saved you guys' asses.
Yeah, they hate that. They hate that. You know, they'll say things like, oh, there's no proof. Like, that's like their...
Yeah, no, yeah. Guru Tegh Bahadur didn't pay taxes, or the Sikhs were such a small group of people. Why would Aurangzeb even care, or shit like that? It's
remember that Instagram post about you know, it was basically glorifying Aurangzeb, and then
yeah,
and then, you know, obviously, like, I don't like to get into Instagram battles, whatever. But I felt like the need I should leave a comment clarifying Aurangzeb was a fucking tyrant. But then I remember this guy just left, and I mentioned how the Chote Sahibs out there, right? You know, they were, that was Aurangzeb's fault. And then I remember this guy commented, no proof. And I'm like, I'm not even going to engage in this. But, you know, it's just a cop-out reply. Oh, there's no proof.
I usually refer to them just saying, there's no proof your dad's your dad. Right. I go to, like, the parent jokes then, and then they get really mad, man.
Right, yeah, I mean, you know what? Well, you know, further to that, our you know, Sikhi, perhaps more than any other faith, if you really want to talk about proof and evidence, we have it more than any other faith. Beginning with the Guru Granth Sahib, which was written by the, you know, our gurus themselves. Okay, that's one. But then all these monuments, all the gurdwaras, right, that we've still got standing. Okay. Then, you know, you can cross-reference our gurus with, you know, other historical artifacts or like journals from British, you know, I think in Guru Gobind Singh Ji's time, there was a Sir Douglas MacArthur, I think that's his name.
McAuliffe.
Yeah. He had a journal and talks about, you know, the Sikhs at that time. So you can cross reference our history with other points in history. And so if you really want to talk about evidence, I think more than any other faith, Sikhi has the evidence that it existed, that our gurus existed, that those things happened. These fuckers want to talk about proof.
That's exactly it. And those same assholes are the ones that burnt the historical the library during the attack in Darbar Sahib.
Yeah.
Everything, all the manuscripts, handwritten manuscripts, you know, from our gurus, from like Bhai Gurdas Ji, Bhai Nandalal, Baba Deep Singh Ji, like handwritten, man.
Yeah, even a Jahangir's personal diary, they talk about their personal, basically jealousy of Guru Arjan Dev. They were like, you know, there's a, I'm paraphrasing again, but you know, they were saying how there's a guru named Arjan, and he referred to them as a Hindu, actually. There's a Hindu named Arjan who people call guru. You know, it just demonstrated his dislike for Guru Sahib. But again, that's evidence. That's independent objective evidence that these gurus existed.
That's it. And Guru Arjan Dev Ji gave their shahidi, right? You don't see any like those Jahangir doesn't talk about any other Hindu or anybody, but he talks about Guru Arjan Dev Ji because he knows that now people are flocking to Maharaj.
Exactly. Yeah.
People are going to Guru.
Yeah.
Right, and then Guru Hargobind Sahib, Maharaj's own son, then, you know, changed the course of basically the Sikh philosophy. Then by adding the military style, right?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but those were instructions from Guru Arjan Dev Ji closer to their shahidi, right? That they were telling Guru Hargobind Sahib that we need to militarize and defend ourselves now.
Yeah, Guru Arjan Dev Ji basically told that now our stance is going to be a bit different now.
Yeah.
And actually, Guru Nanak Dev Ji taught Baba Buddha Ji the vidya of fighting. And then, because Maharaj gave Baba Buddha Ji bachins that there'll be a time where you're going to have to teach somebody from the guru ship this vidya.
Okay.
That there'll be a time where the Sikhs will have to pick up arms.
Okay, wow.
So when Guru Hargobind Sahib was a small child, Baba Buddha Ji is one that taught him all the vidya on the battlefield.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
So Baba Buddha is one of the greatest Sikhs ever.
That's it. He's great. One of the greatest Sikhs ever. And, you know, people look at Baba Buddha Ji as somebody who was a little bit older, especially during Guru Hargobind Sahib's time. But Baba Buddha Ji was teaching Guru Hargobind Sahib the vidya on being swordsmanship, horsemanship, all that.
Yeah.
And then, so like what we're talking about now, how people like to dilute our history. Then you got idiots like Ram Rahim, or people like to call him Rape Rahim.
What's happening with him now? Like, he's got a chela or something?
It says chela. So there was a bunch of people who got charged for the Biadabi case in 2015 of the Guru Granth Sahib, where 110 angs were ripped out. And it seems like four or five people in those cases have slowly been shot and taken out.
Okay.
One of them just
got taken out. What is that? Where did that Biadabi happen? Where they ripped the youngs out?
I think it was Bargadi. I think that's where the Morcha started. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking it was Bargadi, because 2015 was when the Bargadi Morcha started.
Okay.
But that's when the Biadabis really started going crazy during that time. And it was because of this stupid Rape Rahim and his chele. And like this guy is fucking twisted, man. Like they found like bodies that were buried, man, like of young people, like of females, like in his like property, man.
Remember when he dressed up like Guru Gobind Singh Ji and held his own Amrit Sanjar with like a Dodh Sarda look like?
Yeah, he tried to, and then a lot of the Sikh militants tried to get him, but that's where he got the Z security then.
But, you know, it's so sad because that had, if you look at the photos and the videos of that, it had such a huge turnout. Like, people, it's kind of sad because it's preying on people's desperation. And I think a lot of these self-imposed, you know, saints, you know, whoever you want to name them, right? D'Artagnan Wale, they take advantage of people's desperation. That's really what it is. There's a lot of hurting people out there.
Most of Ram Rahim's chele are quote unquote low caste, right? So a lot of those low caste people were discarded by the Sikh Panthu because we have that caste bullshit within our Gurdwara too. So a lot of those people were kind of thrown to the side, and then Ram Rahim was there to kind of collect them. And then, so they get a bunch of respect there, so then they all flock there. And as a Panth, we should be a little bit smarter too, that we know what our gurus, what their philosophy is. We know they don't like the caste system. They abolished it. Guru Gobind Singh Ji, the Panjpali were from five different quote-unquote castes, and that was to show everybody that once you become a Khalsa, there's no such thing as anything now.
Sorry to interject, but that's the great thing about the Khalsa Panth is that, like, wherever you're from or whatever background you have, this kind of empowers everyone to be equal. It kind of lifts you up, right?
Yeah.
It gives you an equal footing with other people. It gives you a path.
Which at that time in the world, it was unseen anywhere, even in Europe. Like, yeah. they had the serfdom where you had the lower peasants working on the rich people's lands for nothing. Like, basically slavery. And if you were born in those families, you just kept doing that.
You sent me a Twitter post a few days ago of some young person saying, you know, all the gurus added something except Guru Gobind Singh Ji. What did they add? I was like, what?
They're like, if the Sikhi is so advanced, you know, where are the panktiyan about homosexuality and all that? And Guru Gobind Singh Ji just basically said, oh, the Guru Granth Sahib is the Guru now, and that's it, and capped it. So that kind of shit, when people say, it's like, Guru Gobind Singh Ji freaking gave his four sons for us, man. Like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah, I mean, she left out how the development of the Khalsa Panth. It was just hilarious that, you know, to say that Guru Gobind Singh Ji, to basically suggest that Guru Gobind Singh Ji didn't contribute anything.
Yeah, it's like you just.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
it's like, what do you say to that type of person? You just kind of, you're like, okay, whatever, man. Like, you fucking do what the hell you want, man. If you're gonna be that shallow or not even look into the history of what Guru Gobind Singh Ji did, and just look at everything surface level. And as Sikhs, we're guilty of that. We look at our history at surface level. We don't dive deep and actually kind of look at what our gurus did and the philosophy and why they did certain things. And like the caste system is still rampant in the Sikh community now. And we need to get that shit out of there. Until we don't get that shit out, then we might as well just become Hindu then. Straight up. Like, they believe in the caste system, just be a Hindu. Don't call yourself a Sikh. Like, how can you call yourself a Sikh of the Guru and believe in the caste system? It's like 1 + 1 = like fucking 100. Like, how, that does not work. If you want to believe in the caste system, then just be a Hindu.
Agree, 100%. You know, you'll see it play out, like, manifest in our marriages. You know how the traditional families will look a jut for a jut and whatnot. It happens still. Very
cool. Oh yeah, it hasn't stopped at all. And these singers, you know, like to pump that type of caste shit too. And you know, it's like, why be, you don't, there's nothing, why be proud of your caste? Be proud of your guru, man. Be proud that you're Sikh, that you're a Khalsa or that. Like, you don't need to be proud of your caste. Like, half of these, especially the people born and abroad, man, like 99% of you haven't even farmed in your life. Right? You give you a shovel and you start, you'd be like, no, fuck that, I ain't doing shit.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you like? Where, like, if you were working on the fields or whatever, fine, different story. Be proud that you're a farmer or whatever. And then we bring it to the Western world too, and we bring it to these countries where we're working office jobs or whatever. But you know, we're jacked over this and that. And again, if you believe in the guru, if you call yourself a Sikh of the guru, if you love Guru Gobind Singh Ji, you don't believe in this shit, man. And if you want to believe in that shit, you just be. There's a group of people, there's a religion that believes in that. You can join them. You can just join them. Call yourself a Kumar now and call yourself freaking a Patel, basically.
You know, funny you say that. I know someone who went to India recently, and they were saying, "This is fun." It's crazy to say it out loud, but basically, they went to a mandir, and you know how Disneyland, when you're in the lineup, they have like a fast pass lane and a regular lane.
If you like a Nexus,
a Nexus. If you pay, you'll get in the fast pass lane. They have this for mandirs in India, man. Like, if you pay them, you'll quickly get to do your worship. this is fucking mind boggling, dude. This is just like recently. This is like last year.
Entrepreneurs, man.
Holy fuck, dude. It is crazy. It's just...
I wouldn't be surprised if you see...
I think it's fucking hilarious that they have this. Like, you can pay to do your worship faster, basically. And you know, skip ahead of all these peons. Fuck. It's fucking stupid. How fucking...
The way our Gurdwara run, man.
I'd have the self-awareness to know that this is stupid.
Well, it goes back to that whole system that if you're a higher caste Brahmin, that you're given priority, right?
Yeah,
so right. if you're a lower caste, you probably don't have as much money as somebody who's from a Brahmin family. So the Brahmin family has the money to do the fast lane. So it's that ancient tradition of that dharma, man.
It's like they give you a stamp on your hand, like a Mickey Mouse stamp.
Like when you go to a club, they give you like the
wristband.
The wristband.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, it's hey man, the way our Gurdwara run, man, I wouldn't be surprised if that shit's gonna happen here somewhere.
It better not. That'd be the end, dude.
You know, like these. Fuck. I mean, we'll get into that into another episode, but that will freaking stray into another dimension of discussion. Anyways.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to talk about, man. I was reading on Twitter. Some people were like, explaining their experiences of like they want to take Amrit or they want to start growing their hair. Their case, and their families are the ones that are like telling them not to because, you know, you'll never get a job or you'll never find a partner or what will people say? You're going to become a baba or this and this and that. And I know I went through some of that when I started growing my case and stuff. And like, it's just fucking sad how we just cut our people's knees, man. Like we just cut their legs just from underneath them. And then we say, yeah, you know, Sikhi is disappearing or whatever, which will never disappear because Guru is Ang Sang and Sikhis ain't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. But as a Sikh Panth, we should get away from that loser mentality where, oh my God, there's only a little bit of us. What's going to happen? Don't worry. Maharaj, it will take Maharaj is still Ang Sang. We're not going anywhere. But yeah, like how people just, you know, it's sad to see that Sikh families are discouraging their youth from going on the path just because of Maya basically getting a job or whatever. Like in my experience, I got everything. I got a wicked job, all the opportunities after I took Amrit, man. Like, if we believe that Guru is controls the hukam of everything, wouldn't we think that, hey, if we go closer to Guru and everything's under Guru's hukam, Maharaj will take care of me?
Yeah. Right. You know, that's not the first time I've heard that. I also wonder if it's, you know, for the people that are dissuading their children from taking Amrit, I also wonder if it's because of their own insecurities. Because, you know, you'll see some children, you know, of people who drink heavily or eat meat or whatever, right, want to take Amrit. And then the parents, because they don't want to feel guilty that they continue their own lifestyle,
yeah,
and that their son or daughter is, you know, on the path of taking Amrit, that because of that guilt, they're kind of dissuading their children from taking it. I wonder if it's because of their own insecurities as well.
Yeah, no, I totally see that, man. I agree with that. And that's sad, man. Like, your kids trying to better themselves and better your lineage, basically, going forward.
If anything, a parent should be inspired. Like, isn't dissuading someone from, you know, isn't that a pop?
Yeah, it is. It is. You pop.
Like, that is such bad karma to prevent someone from taking steps to go towards a guru.
Yeah, yeah.
That is like, that's just a terrible thing to do.
Well, yeah, and then that parent or whatever dives deeper into their whatever, their alcoholism or whatever. Yeah. And the karma gets played out like that.
Yeah. And right. You know, it's not just from parents. It could be from siblings or, you know, grandparents, you know, friends even, you know. Imagine, you know, you've got a social circle that, you know, they behave a certain way. And then, you know, they might even dissuade people from taking
it. Yeah. Like, you really need gurus, especially in this day and age, growing up in the West.
Yeah.
Really, gurus blessing, gurus kirpa, to really get out of that shit, man.
Yeah.
Like, you always do what that. Like, if you're wanting Amrit, if you want to go on the Sikhi path, always keep doing Ardaas to Guru Sahib.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need, without Maharaj's backing, nothing can happen. It's very hard to get on this path.
Right.
Especially if your family is not part, like a Sikhi family or good Sikhi family, or if you don't have proper Sangha there, it's fucking hard, man. Yeah. Everything, there's an obstacle everywhere. And, yeah, like, one advice I would give is, you know, you people who are going to give you reasons for not to take Amrit, for example, finding a partner or not having, getting a job or whatever, don't worry about that, man. Like, if you have Guru will give you everything. You wanted a box of Laddus, Maharaj will give you a truckload of Laddus. Like, don't worry, like, the job that you're expecting, that you think you're going to get, Maharaj might even give you something a million times better.
Yeah.
I know one guy who literally had nothing, and when he took Amrit, he I remember when he was Mona, like, he tried applying for jobs and everything, he couldn't get anything. And the minute he took Amrit, all of a sudden he got wicked job, wicked opportunities, salary, side business, now owns a couple properties. Like, if this is all Guru, like, when you have Guru will give you everything.
Yeah.
Right? So don't let people dissuade you, and always do Ardaas to Guru Sahib.
I was listening to a Katha by Gyani Thakur Singh Ji, and I think I mentioned I like listening because he gives it straight. And also Santawariyam Ji, but they're basically saying, you know, like, as Sikhs, try your best not to ask for, you know, things, right? But when you do your simran and you take Amrit and you're on that path, those things kind of come automatically, which is
the beauty
of it, right? Without you even asking, your life would just change.
That's exactly it. It's like, imagine somebody who needs somebody who has very little money or whatever, and they want to buy a house, they need a car, they need a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And then let's say all of a sudden they randomly win the lottery, then everything they can, with the lottery, they can, with that money, they can buy everything they need now.
Right.
So that's how it is. When you go on the guru's path, everything will be provided, everything will be given to you.
Yeah,
instead of you wanting one thing or this thing, or I need this, you'll be given a lottery, and everything will be provided within that lottery.
Yeah, your affairs are basically taken care of is the message I get from it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Any chinta you have or whatever, that's all taken care of, man. that's
I agree, and I do think it's a serious concern, man, when people are your own community and your own family even are dissuading you from going on that path. Like, it's scary to think.
Well, these are the same people who you have pictures of Guru Sahib in their house, and you know, asi sekha, asi Guru Granth Sahib nu mande, and this and that. And then when it comes down to their kid wanting to go on the path, oh no, 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 don't do it, don't do it, don't. Like what the fuck are we doing, man?
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Like, are we that diluted as Sikhs that over the thought of not getting a job, we're gonna turn our back on the guru? Like, are we that weak? It's fucking ridiculous, man. Did you want to add anything to that? Sarpanch Sahib?
You know, you said it. I do think it's people's own insecurities when they dissuade others. I think people just should just stay in their own lane. And if somebody close to you wants to take Amrit, they're just, even if they want to go to the Gurdwara more, or, you know, they want to, or they just want their own quiet time to do Simran or whatever, you know, don't try to dissuade them with, there could even be subtle ways to dissuade them and without you even knowing it, right? Like, if somebody wants to go to the Gold Bud every day and you tell them, oh, just once a week is fine. That's another form of dissuasion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't prevent them. I think it's a big sin. And I think people should be very careful.
Yeah, unless somebody asks you for advice or whatever, just let the person be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
What's your advice for people who are kind of, they got their foot in two boats and they don't know? Actually, what are your thoughts on young children taking Amrit? That's a big discussion, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, with young children taking Amrit, I mean, if they have a good Sangat around them and a good Sikhi family around them, it's easier,
right,
as they grow older, if that's what the family wants. There's also parents, Amritdhari parents, who wait a little bit and let the child decide a little bit when they're a little bit older. Yeah. Like, they'll give them everything that they need. Like, they'll teach them about Gurbani, Kirtan, Itihas, everything, it will be provided. And then,
you know,
they'll...
Hey, you're right. There's a line from the Guru Granth Sahib that says, you know, teach your children about the stories of your gurus.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very important. It is very important to know your history, about our gurus' history, the saints, the shaheeds, because when times get tough or you're mentally really drained or you're mentally going through something really shitty, these sakya, if you know them in your mind and they're stored in your brain, they will lift you up, because you're like, man, Bhai Taru Singh went through some really fucked up shit. He was getting scalped alive. I got a fucking C on my essay. You know what? Let's put it into perspective. Not too bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Those mothers. And I want to get to this. So back to how families persuade, basically persuade people not to take Amrit.
Right.
Imagine, look at the mothers in Mir Manu's jails who had their babies cut into little pieces in front of them, man.
Yeah.
And they're watching you, your family, have this discussion. Like, what are they fucking thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, their babies' limbs are around their necks right now. And they didn't give up their faith. And over a job, you're not going to get a partner. Oh, what are people going to say? You're going to become a baba. You're going to do this and that. You're basically what you're spitting on their legacy.
Right.
Like, are we that, again, are we that fucking weak as a qom that we don't look at these stories and like what these mothers went through? Could you imagine, man, having your little baby cut into pieces in front of you?
You know what? Totally. Now that I think about it, when you mentioned that about how people subtly try to dissuade you, is even when sometimes, like, I'll say, you know, I'm going to the Gurdwara, or, you know, like, I won't even ask someone how often do they go to the Gurdwara, but they have a feel, they have this need to defend themselves and then talk about how, oh, I believe that if I have a good heart, I don't need to go to the Gurdwara much, which is okay, fine, right? But I get this feeling that some people have this need to defend themselves when like if I just comment that I'm going to the Gurdwara, I know people who will kind of just say randomly, oh, I just think that, you know, if I'm a good person, this and that. But I'm like, I didn't even ask you. I'm not even putting this back. That's what I do with you. I'm just telling you I'm going to the Goldbar, right? Because we're talking. But it's subtle. And I think it's like, maybe people don't realize it.
Could you imagine like that Dil Saf people? Like, again, back to those mothers in Mir Manu's jails.
Yeah. No, I know.
I just need a clean heart and I'm good. Like, those mothers saw their babies. Those babies were fed to dogs in front of their moms.
Yeah.
Like, we forget these karbaniya. Like, have a clean heart. Like, ask the sahabjade, Shorte sahabjade, the clean heart, man. All you need is a fucking clean heart.
I remember we did a karnpar once in Surrey at a Gurdwara, and I was there with a distant relative, and they just, again, this need to defend themselves for no reason, and they went on this spiel about how they're simple people and having a good heart is the most important factor, and you know, that's all they need. They don't need this spirituality. But yeah, I see that. I see that all the time.
And usually a lot of times those kind of type of people have not much going with their fucking lives, and they're going through a lot of hard times, or they've fucked other people over. So that negative karma sometimes starts to speak out when they start seeing other people try to go on the right path. Right, so like,
too. Yeah,
like those insecurities, though, that andron jeda or dara jao jede paap ne,
yeah,
those start to talk, and sometimes we can't even stop them from talking within us when we, especially even if we're around people who are more, who have a higher avastha than us, who do more, who have a pagti and japanam, even then sometimes we feel very uncomfortable around these people.
Right,
like people who have a lot of negative karma, they wouldn't want to be around these people, and they'll say certain sly comments like, oh, babe, jereya, or this and that, oh, jere sant, jereya, this and that, because jere paap ne andaron, they're fucking talking.
Yeah, exactly.
So always remember, you know, just people out there, you know, what are, how many karbaniya we have in our pant? Think about Guru Gobind Singh Ji. And the more you get closer with Maharaj, everything will be provided to you. You don't have to fucking worry about a job or a partner or this and that or whatever. Everything will be provided to you. You won't even it's going to be hard to even realize how much will be provided to you. You won't even fathom it at one point. So don't worry about other people's opinions. As long as Guru Gobind Singh is happy, that's what counts.
Yeah. Agree 100%. And, you know, further to your point about, you know, even taking Amrit is, that can only happen with Guru's blessings. There was a girl I knew, she that urge to take Amrit happened very randomly. Like, she experienced some sort of panic attack, basically, where she just needed it. And literally within days, she took it and her life changed completely. So that was like a 180 that happened very quickly. But it goes to your point that it's that... That unlocking of the key that only the guru can give you, right?
Yeah, and sometimes
we can try all we want, but it's with guru's blessing that you're going to do it, and then, you know, continued blessings actually be a good stick and keep your head.
Yeah, you don't want to be those rotten Amratati Sikhs who do dumbass shit like us.
Well, yeah, I don't know. that's the thing, right?
Well, the thing is, sometimes we have to go through something a little bit hard to really, really have that thirst or that pyaas for Amrit. If life is really, really too good, we're never really going to go. Sometimes we don't even go for that pyaas.
Oh my God. Have that pyaas. Dude, you know that line from Guru Nanak Dev Ji about, God, see, I don't even want to like paraphrase it because I'm not going to do it the service that it needs. But it's basically a line that people get angry about. It's Guru Nanak Dev Ji saying that, you know, basically hard times is that you need the heart. I don't want to screw up the line. It's a very important line, but.
So is it Sukh Rog Dukh Daru?
Suffering is the medicine or something.
Yeah, that's it. Sukh Rog Dukh Daru. Basically that.
Right. Yeah. That you need. Sometimes that suffering is the key that you need to make that change.
Yeah. So peacefulness basically is the disease,
Right,
and
right.
hardships is basically the medicine to that disease.
Well, let's talk about that very important line, because I've seen people online like, real, oh, what kind of guru would say that? Oh, is this Sikhi just all about suffering? But the main point is, and you've seen this play out in many, like, great Sikhs' lives, that they went through something, right, that kind of changed things and put them on the right path. Sometimes you need that to wake up.
Well, look, we all you got is look at Gobind Singh Ji's life.
Exactly.
What didn't Maharaj not go through?
I know, I know.
There was betrayal. He lost the family, everything. And look, Maharaj still not even one tear out of Maharaj's eye.
Yeah.
Obviously, Maharaj's a Kalpurukh themselves, but like a true father, they show us out of actions, not just words. Look at Guru Nanak Dev Ji, man. The Kota Rakesh wanted to eat Maharaj, like the cannibal.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Sajjan Nag wanted to murder Maharaj. Maharaj went everywhere. When Maharaj went to Baghdad in Iraq, a Muslim mob tried to stone Maharaj to death. So what didn't Maharaj go through, right? And then if you look at our Shaheeds too, look at Bhai Mati Das Ji when before Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji got Shaheed, he was sawed in half, man. So the hardships is part of life. It's just that Maharaj is there to help you through these obstacles, because you're not going to live a life without hardships. That's just part of the fabric of life.
Yeah, those
But
hardships can be the greatest blessings, though. They can be the best thing that ever happened to
well, iron is forged in fire, right? Not in freaking honey.
Exactly.
So fire only forges iron into something that can basically dispatch enemies on the battlefield, right? So the hardships harden us to make us better people, but we need our guru there to guide us and to have our back. And these hardships won't feel as hard then, because these hardships are going to come. We don't know what we brought from our past lives. But with our guru, these obstacles or these hardships can be lessened. They don't have to be so hard. Or we'll have the tools to deal with it.
Right, exactly.
We'll have a certain mindset that's a much stronger mindset that will be like, okay, chal koi na, don't worry, we'll deal with it. Chal ho gaya, continue on,
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
you mentioned the tools to deal with it. Again, I go back to Sheikh Kanhaiya, Baba Harnam Ji's book. They were talking about a story about how, a person was saying, you do all this simran, but still bad times come. What's the point of simran? And they mentioned that when you do your bhakti and you stay on the path, that you're given these tools to deal with those hard times, and they can
Yep.
even be lessened, right?
Yep.
But
That's exactly it. Yep.
given the tools to deal with those things, so.
Yep. Like that Chardi Kala mindset. My guru's gonna bless you with that. You just by saying Chardi Kala, it doesn't mean anything. You need that blessing from Maharaj to instill that in you too.
Yeah.
So that's why it's always best to try to get on the path. And you'll find that a lot of obstacles that you thought were gonna destroy you basically were nothing because of the guru. It all goes back to guru, right? And again, back to the discussion about people telling you not to go towards guru or whatever. Don't worry about that. Be how beneficial it is to have guru in your life. How without Maharaj, even the littlest troubles can become big mountains. These people that are going to say, don't do it, don't do it. At the end of the day, when you're on your deathbed and your soul leaves your body, are they going to be the ones that are going to come get you? It's not them. Under all your karma and all the hukam is under guru. So make guru your friend. Don't worry about these other fuckers, man. Make guru your best friend. And you'll see a big difference in your life. That's from my again, that's my opinion and my point of view, just because of what I've been through.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
All right, so we'll end it here, and we'll have an outro going, and Until next time, Sarpanch Saab.
Good show, G. Until next
Alrighty.
Time. Okay.
Okay. Take care, buddy. Okay. ਅਫਗਾਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਮਨਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਐਡਾ ਡਰ ਸੀਗਾ ਅਫਗਾਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਸਲਵਾਰਾਂ ਪਾਉਣੀਆਂ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਕਰ ਦਿੱਤੀਆਂ ਸੀਗਾ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਔਰਤਾਂ ਲੱਗਾਂਗੇ ਇੰਨਾ ਡਰ ਗਏ ਸੀ ਇੰਨਾ ਡਰ ਇਹਦਾ ਦਾ ਪਹਿਰਾਵਾ ਜੋ ਪਹਿਰਾਵਾ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਇਹਦੇ ਆਤੰਕ ਤੋਂ ਬਚਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਆਸਟ੍ਰੇਲੀਆ ਦੀ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਅਖਬਾਰ ਨੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਜੇ 12 ਜਰਨੈਲਾਂ ਦੀ ਗੱਲ ਕੀਤੀ ਸੀ ਉਹਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈਰੀ ਸੇਨ ਨੂੰ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਫਸਟ ਨੇਮ ਸੀ ਫਸਟ ਨੇਮ ਫਸਟ ਨੇਮ ਫਸਟ ਨੇਮ ਸਰਬੂਸੇ ਆ